Hello again, and welcome to Heroic Journeys, Leveling Up with Chantel and Tamara.
So our episode today is about curating the mind and how we can get our mind serving our leveling up process instead of sabotaging. This is the first in the series where we're looking at those five facets of ourselves that we want to bring into integrity: mind, heart, soul, body, and spirit, so that all of our parts can be working in tandem to help us really move forward. So we're starting with the mind, and I think it's an important place to start because we are a very mind-centered culture. I'm an educator, so I know as much as anybody how our education system really emphasizes mental processes and really builds up the mental energy to the point where after 12 years of being in school, 12 plus years, that's kind of our go-to mode, is just being in mental energy. And it doesn't always serve us well. So we wanted to talk about some tools and ways of getting out of our minds and into our bodies more, and also just how can we work with our minds so that they become our servant and not our master.
Yeah, one of the questions or prompts that we asked previously was like, if your mind was a room, how would you decorate it? And it was interesting to see like what we both came up with, because we obviously have different kinds of minds. And mine was a very left brain, right brain, visualization that I came up with. One, like, they had different music. One was very peaceful and pastel. The other one was very fluorescent and, you know, vibrant. And so to me, it meant the differences between like the conscious and the subconscious, and very like analytical versus peaceful, and basically how we can become aware when we're in one or the other and shift to the one that is most helpful for us at the moment.
Yeah, what you're saying makes me think about meditation. And I've worked hard at developing a meditation practice over the years. I tend to have a very, very active mind, which has often worked against me. And I used to have the idea that meditation was about quieting the mind. And if I did it right, I would have no thoughts and I would just be in this lovely space of nothingness. And now I've come to realize that the benefit of meditation is just in noticing what's going on in my mind and actually taking a step back and being the observer so that I'm not so identified, because my mind can really turn against me. And I once sat with my husband, we were having brunch, and I was trying to describe to him what an enemy my mind can be to me, and he had no clue. He just couldn't understand. So I took 1 minute and just articulated for him all of the things that were going through my mind. And he looked at me afterwards and said, "How do you live when your mind is doing that to you all the time?" The inner bully. And so for those of us who are empaths, we tend to be a lot in the mental energy of self-criticism. And when I think about curating the mind, I think about having a beautiful inner museum. And you're thinking about the pieces that you want to put on display then, and how you want to frame them, and the environment that you want to create, so that going into that environment, you have this beautiful aesthetic experience. And we can do that for ourselves. And I've worked hard over the last couple of years doing that with certain tools. So I guess we can maybe talk about some of the things that we've found helpful. For me, one of the things that's been helpful and kind of fun is Sonia Schockett's idea of thinking of the busy mind as a barking dog. And I've named my barking dog. My barking dog's name is Helga. So when my mind starts going into that self-criticism mode, or just the endless trying to problem solve and just the hamster wheel of going nowhere, then I just say, "Helga, you know, it's time to sit down. You can sit by my side, but I'm the leader here, so I'm going to take the leash." And that's been really helpful for me to have the sovereignty of just knowing that I can have that control over my mind, and I can actually look at it and just say, "No, you're squirreling. Yeah. It's time for you to come and sit down and just be quiet."
And that's the benefit of meditation too. Like, meditation gives us that ability to recognize and to pause, whereas before we didn't we didn't know that we could do that. We didn't know we could be the observer.
Yeah, I think we tend to be so identified with our minds that we don't actually, our minds are thinking us instead of using our minds to think.
Yeah, and like it's a lot about embodying energy too. Like in the therapy work that I do a lot of parts like therapy or IFS. And basically, if you can talk about how you feel about something, then you're kind of in an observer standpoint of that part. But if you've totally become identified with that part, then you're, you know, you don't really have any objectivity.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that makes me think of the Sedona method, which has also been really helpful for me, which is this idea of just accepting and then releasing. And so if something is happening in my mind, and often it's very anxiety producing, then I have this image. So the Sedona method is about welcoming. You welcome your feelings, you welcome your thoughts, whatever's occurring.
Almost like for tea.
Yes. Well, I have the image of a yacht. Nice. So this is a party yacht.
Nice.
A beautiful boat where I'm holding this wonderful party, and whoever shows up at the door, and it could be anxiety, it often is anxiety or anger or feelings of self-loathing, that kind of thing, shows up at the door and it's like, welcome to the party, come on in, you can find a space, and if you need to go up in the back room and just be quiet in a room by yourself, you know, you're welcome. And as soon as you welcome, then some of the anxiety, the energy around that dissipates. And again, it's this idea of being sovereign. This is my party yacht. This is my home. I can open the door and I choose to welcome. And then when you're ready to leave, you can leave.
So. I think a lot of people are going around on pirate ships, just trying to blow everything up. They're in resistance too. And yeah.
Well, that brings up the question of what you allow into your space. Like if you're talking about curating, if I was curating a museum, I'm not just going to put up something on the wall that I find hideous or, you know, that I look at and it makes me feel awful inside.
Or allow someone else to put that up and just...
Yeah, and yet we do that all the time. People in our environment that we think that we can't pull away from because, they'll guilt us if we choose not to spend time with them anymore or... You know, we really have to have the sovereignty of deciding how we want to curate our mental experience and to subject it to. And I'm as guilty as anyone. Like I'll say, I tend to be a bit of a news junkie, and not that I watch constantly, but I have certain YouTube channels that I'll go to for analysis on political topics of the day or whatever. And yeah, that is something I want to pull back on because is it adding value to my life? Probably not. It's the curiosity of watching the train wreck. And, you know, at a certain point, there are better uses for my time.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of a bunch of things. One of the tabs that's opening now in my brain is I remember when I was hosting LifeTree, Conversational Cafe, and we were studying handwriting of different people, people with trauma, people who have made themselves small. Their handwriting is actually a lot smaller than regular people's handwriting. And I've noticed too, working at Subway, there's people that come in and they're like, I want a very little bit of lettuce, I want a very little bit of this, a little bit of that. And then their partner comes in with like extra this, extra this. And I'm just like, isn't that interesting? You know, how like opposites attract, how some people are like, you walk into their home and it's just like, where is your energy? Like the other person's energy is all over the walls, all over the furniture, right? Like I've noticed that in my home too, how I'm having to be very intentional about like, this is the furniture I want. This is what I want on the wall. Even creating a space in my home, you know, my personal journey. I didn't feel like I had a space in my home to decorate the way I want. And over the last year or two, I now have my own room and it's decorated the way I want. And it's a huge shift.
And I think it begins with intentionality, right?
To know you can.
Yeah. And part of that intentionality is noticing, like noticing how you feel after you've been with certain people or after you've watched certain programming on TV or been on social media or and just making that choice of how do I want to curate this experience
and that I am responsible for myself. The whole codependent narcissistic magnet thing is all about you're responsible for my feelings, I'm responsible for yours, right? Versus I'm responsible for my feelings, I'm responsible to decorate my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. As someone who's dealt a lot with anxiety, I think anxiety can be such a nameless thing. And it is triggered by certain environments. It is triggered by maybe being around certain people or what's going on in the news and all of that kind of thing. And it tends to be a little addictive. And so curating my mindset around anxiety has really been about noticing that anxiety and not fighting it, but getting more out of my mind and into my body. And so breathing. If I'm lying awake in bed at night and I'll start breathing up and down my backbone, and that's just a way of grounding myself with the earth energy that comes up from the bottom of my backbone and breathing it out and then breathing in the cosmic energy that comes in through the top of my head and back down and just up and down the backbone. And it really helps to ground me and get me out of the hamster wheel of my mind and into my body.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
We were just talking a moment ago about how many creative breakthroughs happen because people get themselves out of their mind and into their heads. Like, we have this idea that as soon as there's an issue or a problem to solve, we've got to put our analytical left brain to work on it and enumerate all the pros and cons and, you know, strategize around it and all that kind of thing. But wasn't it Einstein who said you can't solve a problem at the level it was created? And so often going for a walk, doing the dishes, doing something manual with your hands can get you out of that mental space and just open a channel for the creativity to come through.
Mm-hmm. The book, The Untethered Soul, was huge for me, by Michael Singer, where I learned it was okay to not be okay. It was such a huge thing because, you know, I thought that the goal in life was to feel good and like, yes, it is. But so much anxiety comes from giving the mind a too big of a job to do, to make everything okay all of the time with all of your relationships, with all of the things going on. Like, that's just not going to happen because life is yin yang. Life is both. So yeah. The more that we accept everything and just in the moment when we notice a trigger coming, like, oh, you know, like, I'm triggered because of this, and that reminds me of my childhood thing. But it's okay. It's okay that I'm embarrassed. And, like, just telling your busy, busy monkey mind that, hey, it's okay to be embarrassed. Then you're just like, yeah. Everyone does this.
Yeah.
This is human. It's okay to be human.
Rumi has a beautiful poem about that. It's called The Guest House or something like that. This guest house, and it's the idea of welcoming every emotion, every experience that comes into your sphere. Because what's the saying? What you resist persists.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you welcome it in, it loses the charge.
You're not feeding it your energy anymore.
And
yeah.
then you can release it as you need to.
Mm-hmm. And that's what the hypnotherapy that I do is all centered around the sort of feeding your demons work, right? Where instead of like trying to kill them and trying to get rid of them or denial, whatever, you are the observer and you have a bit of an interaction there and you give it what it needs and you become friends and you say, how can we work together? How can you help me? Like, that's everything.
Yeah.
But if you're always shooting the dragon, you're not going to be able to move on because
yeah.
all of your energy is going against what you don't want.
And that dragon to me represents the tension, right? And we've talked a lot together in our conversations about tension and befriending tension. And this is another William White Cloud idea, which is like tension is where the creativity comes from. And we're so focused on avoiding tension and mentally, you know, is where we experience a lot of the tension and then it filters into the body. But if we can welcome tension and just know that standing in the tension and being welcoming of it,
being okay with it, and can birth something new.
Yeah, is where the creativity is going to bubble up sooner or later.
Because, mm-hmm. yeah, so many people have triggers. At least I had triggers around tension growing up because it wasn't safe to have tension because it meant physical pain or emotional pain. And so me raising my kids, it's like every time they started to even think about fighting or having some kind of argument or debate, I would shut it down. I mean, if I could reverse, I wouldn't do that, but like it's definitely a learning. And I also like the wordplay attention or tension. You know, instead of running away from tension, you're like, tension, there it is. Yeah. I'm going to go towards that and see what comes of that and get out of the loop I'm in and choose anomaly, choose something different. And like, yeah, it can open up so many doors that you didn't even know could open.
Yeah. There are lots of good tools for mental distress. We've talked about meditation. A lot of people have a hard time with meditation just because there's so much mental energy that to actually sit down and it almost amplifies it. But I think, you know, some of those tools like the havening, which is just, you know, calming your body, or the tapping.
Tapping's amazing.
Emotional freedom technique.
See, all of this energy is like stuck in the body. People compartmentalize, put it in boxes, tape it up, right? But it's still there. It's still bubbling, wanting to come out. So when people start to meditate, they're like, oh no, I don't like this feeling. I'm feeling all my feelings. I'm not distracting. I'm not numbing, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And then our first go-to with the feelings is to go into a mental space, right? What does this mean? How, and just start mentating around it, which becomes a vicious hamster wheel.
And so with hypnotherapy, it's so much more comfortable because you are in your subconscious and you're observing and you're not embodying those anxieties, right? You're not embodying all of those dragons. and so it's just a more comfortable way for people who have a hard time with meditation or even figuring out how to get into that space. I feel like that's a good first step.
Yeah.
Getting into your subconscious.
Another good first step for me anyway was we talked about noticing, just noticing what's going on in your mind so that you're not so identified with it and you can become the observer of it. And I have learned when I'm having thoughts that are really self-defeating or sabotaging to just question, is this thought empowering me? Mm. Is this adding value to my life? Mm-hmm. And then not to fight it, but just notice, okay, this is a thought, it's not adding value to my life. So maybe this is the barking dog that just needs to come and sit down beside me and, you know, be calmed. But a question or two to have a go-to question, is this adding value to my life or is this serving my growth or is this empowering me?
Or is this heavy or light? Yeah. You know, with life coaching, that's like the beginning. You go through all the categories of your life and is this heavy or light and is this a priority? And how can we get more into alignment of where I am now, where I want to be?
Yeah.
You can't get to where you want to be if you're not clear on where you are right now.
And I found it really helpful taking the William White Cloud course, just the idea that our thoughts are not real. We tend to be so identified with our thoughts that we think this is the reality. And it's really helpful, this idea that your thoughts and feelings aren't real. They're real in the sense that you experience them, but not necessarily real in the sense that this is objective reality that, you know, everyone acknowledges and no, this is the reality that's in my mind right now, but I can curate that reality. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I even say, okay, this is what my mind is doing, but it's not real. So I can step away from it and I can choose to curate a different experience for myself.
Yeah. Like around the whole COVID fears and everything too. Once I shifted to the bring it on energy, like my immune system's got this, you know, that fear just went away because it was the welcoming, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, if I'm in my pirate ship trying to shoot everything that comes, like that's next to impossible anyways, right?
Yeah. And I think what COVID did for me was, you know, the tendency to want to get in debates with people or, you know, that just kind of the whole thing shifted for me around what is true, what is not true, because there's so much information out there and people will pick and choose their sources.
And everyone has their own truth. And that's okay.
Yeah. Well, and for me, it's less now about truth and fact because you even armed with facts, you're not going to change people's minds. It's about what is the experience that you want to curate? Is this serving your quality of life? Is this helping you to feel good about being alive, about being in the world? Is this bringing value? So why would you go and listen to that news source? Or why would you surround yourself with these channels of information that are making you feel crappy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all about what you're feeding your energy to and your attention to. That's like the biggest currency of value that we have. And just make a list of where your energy is going, and then make a list of where you want it to go, and then see how you can make that more into alignment.
And I think for me, because I love inspirational quotes, one of my intentions for the start of this new year is to just fill my environment with inspiring quotes that make me feel good, that actually serve my desire to level up, and that don't bring me down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love a good quote on mindful regeneration and all my social media. I love it.
Well, let's ask our audience, if you have a quote that inspires you, that makes you feel good, that puts you in a good mental space, put it in the comments. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes.
And I guess that brings us to the end of our episode. So until next time, remember to be the hero of your own journey.